Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast and sometime happy hour where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cato, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
I'm Zach Pierce. I'm the pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado, Boulder.
Zach, I got to my car yesterday and there was frost. Frost on the windshield. Frost. I live in Los Angeles, California. I moved here from the Midwest to get away from the reality of having to carry around a car scraper. And yet, frost on the windshield. Woke up this morning. It was 41 degrees outside. That is at least 30 degrees too cold.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can. It's tough. I'm sure you can relate.
You know, it's been a real weathery kind of day for the two of us. Well, Matt, you've got frost on your car. I was a little worried. As of this recording, last night was the first ever monthly TVP happy hour where we listened to some Christmas songs. Shout out to everybody who made it out for that. That was lovely. We'll do it again next month. I was a little concerned that I was not going to be able to be there, Matt, because we had a crazy windstorm all day yesterday. Gust up to 80, 100 miles an hour.
What?
Yeah, it was wild. I saw my hammock flying across the backyard and I had to run out after it. Really something.
How's the pee?
Kids
didn't
go outside
to
play. Pee's still holding strong. It's quite heavy, so that did not go anywhere.
To be clear, I wasn't asking Zach about urine. He has a giant letter P hanging in his backyard, but still good. Good.
Yeah, it's a repurposed sign. P, from some sort of shopping center situation. It's pretty cool. I'd like to figure out a way where I can wire lights back into it so that it lights up itself. But for now, it's still cool art thing, and it's still there. So that's important.
There you survived.
My house
that's
number
good.
Did blow away. That's a different.
Well, I'm glad.
But the power was on and off down at the Boulder Public Library. I've got an insider there who let me know that the power was off for several hours.
Wow.
Down there. The power was off at church, flickered at my home. My daughter's elementary school was out of power for a little while. They didn't go outside to play because it was dangerous. They even watched a show. And they don't watch shows, in elementary school. They watched the Daniel Tiger Big Storm episode. And so when my daughter got home from school, she wanted to make a safety list because Daniel Tiger made a safety list for the Big Storm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Lights, water, and Band-Aids are in our safety kit.
Good job. So you actually made the safety kit. Good job.
Oh, yeah. But I had enough power to go on, Matt, so.
Good. Yeah. I'm very glad. Good. Good. It was a good happy hour. Thank
you. Did
you
find the scraper? Did you have a scraper?
I've been carrying around in my car, speaking of the happy hour, a copy of A Very Special Christmas 3. On compact disc, and so I used the CD case to do some scraping. Later, I posted about the frost on Facebook, and my brother said, "Oh, I always just use an old CD case." I was like, "Yeah, that's right. That's what you do."
Wow,
so that's what I used. Yeah,
unbelievable, man. Unbelievable, unprecedented times. We are recording in Advent, though we're talking about Christmas and stuff. End of days sort of stuff, really leaning into this Advent season.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, we have been really lucky with weather. Well, lucky. At least in terms of being able to worship outdoors. Mm-hmm. We've been worshiping outdoors since August. Not lucky insofar as, in a horrible drought and lots of climate change activity, but it has meant that we can worship outside for this whole season. But now the weather's getting chilly enough that we're going to have to move indoors.
Mm. Yeah, we're suspending our outdoor worship here, our Sunday evening afternoon outdoor worship, until students are back. Classes are out of session here in Boulder, and so we've got until January 16th when the weather will really be warm and good, and we'll be back outside.
Are y'all moving to online or just suspending
just
at home? Yeah.
There's in-person indoors, but the outdoor service, which is Sunday evening, is
mm-hmm.
on hiatus. as you folks like to say in Hollywood.
That's right. That is what we like to do.
Speaking of Hollywood, Matt, it is Christmas season. It's Christmas. Happy Christmas to you. Happy Christmas to all Thanks. Of our listeners here in real time as they're listening to the episode. I'd like to, you know, you still got time to squeeze in some of that Christmas cheer, some of the seasonal mm-hmm. stuff. And mm-hmm. I'd like to encourage our listeners to check out a film I recently watched. It's a film produced and directed and starring Melissa Joan Hart. Clarissa Explains It All, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I didn't know this until last night, Matt. I discovered that Melissa Joan Hart is in the Christmas movie business.
What?
Yeah. She has her own production company that's called, you ready? Heartbreak Films Incorporated.
Pretty great.
Heart, spelled like heart, Melissa Joan Hart. And they have, she's does like one Christmas movie a year, it turns out. And let me tell you, I could not recommend the 2018 version of Melissa Joan Hart's Christmas movie in any stronger terms, more wholeheartedly than I do for you today, Matt. The title of this film, I'm going to give you the title, and you tell me what you think the film is about. Like, give me the plot. Is that fair?
Okay.
A Very Nutty Christmas. A Very Nutty Christmas.
Is it about peanut butter?
Not explicitly.
Is it squirrels gathering acorns? Is it about Chip and Dale?
No, Matt, you're terrible at this game. You know, it's not like this isn't a 21 question. You tell me what the plot of that movie is. You have to come up with the plot of a movie called A Very Nutty Christmas.
Does it have to do with chestnuts roasting on open fire? Am I getting better at this game? Do I understand the game?
Sure, yeah.
Is it 20 questions? Is that what this game is about?
It's not 20 questions. It's you make up a movie a title. Matt, if you had guessed that Melissa Joan Hart is a single woman alone at the holidays, running her small business, a bakery, she's not looking forward to the holidays, not sure how she's going to make it through, and a mysterious man at a Kris Kringle market, a German Christmas market in Connecticut, gives her a nutcracker that he says will help her make it through the holidays. And she reluctantly takes it to please the old man, and then she goes home. She sits underneath her very sad-looking Christmas tree, and when she wakes up in the morning at midnight, because that's when magic happens, Matt, the nutcracker turns into a real man who is the nutcracker, who's in full nutcracker dress, and helps her make it through the holidays, who she needs some help at the bakery. They use nut flours for their gluten-free stuff, but their nutcracking machine broke. Bummer. That always happens. Turns out he's really good at cracking nuts. He goes viral, in fact, in a video of him cracking nuts. If you thought that A Very Nutty Christmas was about Melissa Joan Hart falling in love with the real Nutcracker Prince and kind of enacting the Nutcracker ballet plot, then you would be correct.
Wow, that really exists.
My favorite part about it, Matt, was that the, like, little blurb you could see on Netflix, available on Netflix, so knock yourselves out, listeners, said she wakes on Christmas Day to find a handsome soldier who might be the Nutcracker Prince. And so, like, you think it's going to be, like, that's going to be, like, the big, like, shocking reveal. Immediately, you're like, oh, it's the Nutcracker. Like, there's no, you never encounter that character and think to yourself, he's not the Nutcracker. Like, it's not.
So, why did you watch this movie?
Because art, Matt, needs to be experienced. We can't all be characters in Wes Anderson movies.
Wow.
Some of us need to pattern our lives off of Heartbreak sure. Films Incorporated.
Yeah. Wow. Well done. Way to take one for the team and watch that film.
Film. Not a movie.
Not a movie. What a great episode of I Love Films.
Ugh. Just always, never misses that podcast. Great app.
Well, where are you? What are we talking about? January 2nd, Sunday, January 2nd.
J2.
It's the second Sunday of Christmas, I believe.
I believe it's the second Sunday of Christmas. You got a couple options here, Matt.
Got a couple options.
It could be second Sunday of Christmas. You could be, you could move Epiphany to January 2nd if you're not going to have your separate Epiphany service.
Good. You could probably transfer the Holy Name of Jesus from January 1st to January 2nd.
Yeah, you could definitely move the circumcision of Jesus through there. That's what you meant, right?
Is that what the reading is for the name of Jesus?
I mean, circumcision of Jesus is a day, and that should be what it is. When 8 days
name of Jesus
were fulfilled to circumcise the child, his name is called Jesus.
Oh, it is, yeah. That is what it is. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
This Wikipedia article has more illustration than necessary.
Wow.
Wow, this has been depicted in medieval art too many times. Oh, God. There's a German painted wood altarpiece of the circumcision of Jesus. These seem to be mostly German, and that adds up, I guess.
This is amazing. It's a whole... It's... I don't know why we're spending this much time talking about this, but, yeah. Luke 2, 15, 21. You get the shepherds. It's like... It's really just verse 21 is the only relevant verse, but they felt like they needed to add some stuff.
You can't just do one verse. It's the gospel reading.
Like... It's incredible.
All the good stuff, they sneak in right after Christmas.
I'm surprised we don't just continue this on Christmas. Like, have the circumcision. That should be, like, one of, when you're doing your lessons and carols, like, that should be the one of the lessons with a carol.
According to the, you do the that law, lesson, Matt, you then, have to wait 8 days after Christmas. That's, there's not a lot in this verse, but that is explicit in the verse.
You still get the Magi. You just, you know, just like we cram everything else together at Christmas, you just do that, and then you do the, all the famous, that gives the opportunity to do the famous hymns about circumcision. That's the forgotten verse of
what are the manual. I don't have my Sundays and Seasons with me here. What are the suggested hymns for the hymnal index? Do I have that in the month?
I believe it's Lo, How Rose Are Blooming. it came upon midnight clear.
Oh gosh.
Lo, yeah, in the bleak midwinter, I believe was originally about.
That's pretty. That is pretty bleak. I mean, I don't want to jump ahead of things here, Matt, but well, I'll wait. I'll hold it until we get there because we're headed there. So, all right. Dear listener, all right. Know that circumcision is going to pop right back up.
Here's your options for January 2nd. It looks like you can do this poetry from John, that opening, mm-hmm. these opening lines from John, or like you said, you can do Epiphany. What are you going to do, Zach?
I'm not doing anything this Sunday. I'll probably show up. But not preaching this week. But I would... In terms of guessing what our listeners are going to be doing, I'm assuming we're going to go Jesus story as much as possible. Because I think that's what people want. You don't get to tell these stories that often. You know, like you don't... You could preach John 1. It's so good. I mean, that's a part of it. It's like power and stuff, right? And it's poetry. Mm-hmm. That you could preach it every Sunday. That would make sense. And you can make it fit in any mm-hmm. context. But, you know, Holy Week, you're not going to preach on the Magi.
Yeah. No, indeed. So what we're going to do...
That's what people want, right? Like, the people in the pews want...
Sometimes...
The Jesus story.
Give the people what they want. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be on vacation, so we're going to do the crappy reading. Not crappy reading, it's a good reading. It's just not a story reading on the second. And then we're going to push Epiphany to the ninth because I want to be here for Epiphany. Oh. So we'll just push it to the ninth.
Just don't care about baptism of Jesus. Got it.
Yeah, then I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm going to
push
that.
Are you giving them the circumcision of Jesus while you're on vacation so they've got to deal with it themselves?
Yeah, that's what I should have done. That's what I should have done. But no, we're gonna push Epiphany. But we could talk about it now. It's a good story.
In the time of King Herod, Matt, because we're in Gospel of Matthew, which is the only version of the Gospels that has the Magi here. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east, and wise men here is a translation of a Greek word that says three kings.
Is that what it says?
Yep, that's what the Greek says. Just kidding. Magi, wise men, it does not say kings or say a number for them. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born king of the Judeans? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Hey, there's a detail I haven't always heard. That not only is King Herod frightened, but all of Jerusalem is also frightened with him.
Mm-hmm.
And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, by no means are least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage. When he had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here's a killer line. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
So good.
So, I mean, that line is a killer line.
It is a killer line. So, you mentioned this as you were starting to read. I just did this text in Bible study last night. And it's, I mean, maybe it's this story more than any other of the Christmas stories where, like, the legends are almost larger, like more extensive than the actual text. So like, you know, they're like, well, you know, like, because they were kings, right? And there were three of them, right? And their names were Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, right? And like, just on and on. And but I think this time, like maybe a younger me fresh out of seminary would be like, no, let me tell you, it wasn't actually like, you know, but this time I was more like, well, I think you've got to like separate out a couple things, right? So like, if we're just dealing with the text that's on the page, a lot of those things aren't here. So like, if we look at just the text on the page, like here's what we get. But then we also have like these legends that have been passed down over the generations. And it's interesting to me because like, you know, in any other kind of mythology, like if you're talking about like stories about Thor Odinson, like you just pass those stories down and there's some like story like where he's like this and there's another story that happens like this. And so like, we do the same thing with these wise men when we do like the Christmas pageant. We'll have them in crowns. We'll do this like stentorian march in. Like we do all these things to like tell these legends. And I think even some of those ways to tell it like do pass on some essential truth about it, right? And so just I don't know. Just I feel less judgmental about that and more like, well, there's different, like, there are, like, different ways of telling the story. They're, like, different legends. But it's also helpful to, like, tease out. Like, you can tease out what's actually in the text in, like, a way that isn't just, like, you know, you're done forever seeing a Christmas pageant one time. So I don't know what that means for you as a preacher. I mean, I think that maybe it is that like a story like this has, like we talked about how it's so well written, like it's just such an incredible story that it lends itself to your imagination doing so much with it.
Yeah. And I think the king, the idea of reading the Magi as kings can be pretty, I think, in service to the intent of the text itself.
Mm. Yeah.
That, there are a couple of layers to it. One, the most obvious one, right, is that we've talked before when we go through Matthew, that Matthew is the multicultural gospel, and no gospel is more concerned with Judaism and what it means to be Jewish than Matthew. And these people from the East, these Magi, these kings from the East, they are definitively not Jewish. And so this light of Christ, if you will, this baby Jesus, this truth that is now in the world, the light of the darkness, is seen even beyond by those who are not Jewish, right? Like that's a pretty important piece to what's happening here. I think it's also like important to say that we might read, I would tend to read these magi and these kings as pretty friendly folk, right? It would be like if Jesus were born in the United States and like Justin Trudeau came over and like Angela Merkel, like our friends, like kings of other countries, yeah, are like sure. They're our buddies. They've come to, like, this is a big deal for us, so they've come over. But a reminder, in the ancient Near East, that's not how how kingdoms worked. That it was full insider outsider sort of things, mm-hmm, right? And so, like, having a political leader from another country come in and say, oh, you have something really important here that we want to, like, see, right? It's like, it's more like Putin coming over and, like, bending the knee or doing some,
yeah,
something unimaginable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And also subversive, right? Like, it starts to get subversive that way because, yeah, King of America would be pretty uneasy with Putin getting super interested in coming over and, like, hanging out and wanting to visit our babies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think that subversive element is the piece that I'd want to make sure we don't lose. Like, because a lot of times I think when we dial it back to the basics of the Christmas pageant, I feel like Herod's one of the characters to get dropped. We just want to, like, process forward with the kings. But really, like, as I'm reading it this time, I realize, you know, the word king is in the story, but it only refers to King Herod. Like, mm-hmm, really, King of the Jews, that's the other one. So the child who's King of the Jews. But it's really that contrast between King Herod and this child who's a king. And so the three kings aren't really... It's sort of strange, but King Herod is all over this thing. And that's the piece that I think, if we only do the three kings marching in, that we miss the danger in the story. And there is, like, there's that subversive element, and there's so much danger happening.
It's that danger that makes all of Jerusalem scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well. Right. Like, mm-hmm, you know, again, hard to wrap our minds around, but, like, if you're living in the city where the king lives, you're down with the king, because you've got to be down with the king. And the idea that all of a sudden this king may not be the king, like, you don't, mm-hmm, know what you're supposed to do. And if you guess wrong about these events that you have no power over, there are real serious and real bad consequences for you and your family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if there's some... I mean, I would read that partly as, like... You know, Jerusalem is like the power center, but they're going to have to travel to this little town of Bethlehem to find this child outside of the power center. But it is like it almost reminds me of like if this was like an all America with him, like they you're even if you're not the king, you're like part of this privileged place, right? Like you said, and it almost to me is like it feels like Mary's song, where it's like bring down the powerful from their thrones, and it's like, yeah, like I could cheer for that, except I'm probably like part of the powerful, like so I should probably be ready for that, you know, like, and there's some indictment
as long as
the
coup happens in that town over there.
Right.
Yeah. Support it.
Yeah, yeah. So I wonder, I don't know. I don't want to, the good news is probably not you should be frightened, dear people, but maybe there's a piece of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how, I'm trying to think how you would work in your danger into the good news. I mean, I guess it would be that you'd find a way to point that danger at the things that are standing between your people and the life of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Do want to shout out, as I try to always do on the Epiphany text, the best Epiphany sermon I've ever heard by the Reverend Jennifer Manis at an LSM gathering in Chicago, where she preached the hell out of this because everybody had come to this like place. And it was on January 2nd because that was the last day of the conference. And everybody was getting ready to get in vans and leave, right? And her like plea to go back to your own country by another road. Like how will your path change because of your time in this place? So good. I still think.
Yeah. Yep.
The dreams, you got dreams in Mark you could play with here. I mean, Matthew.
Wow, the dream piece. Yeah, the dreams too. We talked about that in our Bible study last night. See, I was preparing just for this podcast. But somebody pointed out the dreams, and then I started, they were like, well, what? I can't remember where we got to this. But somehow I was looking at the first two chapters of Matthew. There's like five dreams just in the first two chapters of Matthew. We only get one of them here, but Joseph has a dream before this story. That tells him to stay with Mary. And then Joseph has a dream to tell him to leave. And then Joseph has another dream. And then Joseph has another. Like, there's so many dreams happening that direct the course of people's lives that happen just in these first two chapters of Matthew. So even though this isn't the year of Matthew, I don't know. There's stuff you can do with the dream, too. So many images to work with. It's incredible.
Oh, so good.
One of the things that that we noticed as we were reading it, in light of the dreams, is that these magi are doing something that like that might translate to everyday life, where they're like, they observe the star that's rising. Now they're astrologers, but they're also paying attention, right? They're paying attention to the world around them. And then at the end of the story with this dream, they're also paying attention to their inner life. And so they're paying attention. They're paying attention. And because they're paying attention, they see this child and they go home by another road and all these things, right? So so there's also this call to pay attention, right? Both outside and inside.
I like it, Matt.
So there you go. Epiphany. Plenty to work with.
You got enough.
Matt. We'll also be excited at St. Mark's. We'll be excited to do another Epiphany Home Blessing. It's been 2 years since we did the chalking the church doors, so that's always fun. Mm-hmm. I also, the other fun thing about that is that then I give people chalks to take home. And usually when you give people an assignment, like, nobody's going to take home and do it. But then throughout the year, I'll go visit people, and they'll have the chalk really over their doors, really, and it's the coolest. It's the coolest thing. So highly recommend that, you know, chalk in the doors.
Well, Matt, in the case that you are not preaching on the Epiphany text and preaching on the first chapter of John, I think I talked about it because we talked about it for Christmas stuff, that I'm into this. Our students and I, last time we did our catechism thing, talking about the idea that Jesus was begotten in the beginning and is forever being begotten. I like the idea, you know, surprise, I like time stuff is super fun for me, which is why I love Loki as well. But I'm into that time dimension, right? Like the idea that if Jesus is forever being begotten of the Father, right, that means Jesus is being begotten right now and playing with time and moving. I mean, I think that's the real power of like Lutheran theology, right, is it unfixes the events of God from specific places in space and time, and it means they can come to us where we are. I mean, that's, for me, is the maybe why I'm Lutheran today. And so to pair with that, Matt, I wanted to throw a time song on the playlist. How about that for a transition? Just slide it right in.
Good job.
And I'm going to go with, I've not yet watched, Matt. We both need to watch. It's going to take us forever before we get around to it because there's a lot going on. Matt, Righteous Gemstones came out today.
What?
The new season. Yeah.
So no, I gotta, it didn't.
Like, it what? Did. I've got to resubscribe to HBO Max. You've got your Hawkeye going on. We got to get around to watching this Eternals and talking about it with Will Rose. There's a lot on our plate, but that 9 hours long Beatles documentary, we got to get around to it, Matt. And because my favorite British invasion band is obviously the Kinks, in particular, through a Wes Anderson movie, through the Darjeeling Limited, which is not the most highly praised of Wes Anderson films, but featured several Kinks songs, and so I got deep into the Kinks then, and they're incredible and so underrated. But this time, Tomorrow is the Kinks song that I'm putting on the playlist this week in honor of the first chapter of John.
Fantastic.
Continuing on, Matt, I love the home homecoming exile, like, which is a pattern in Matthew that we didn't get to talk a lot about, but you get that here already, right? Like the wise, the magi, the kings go home. Julian Baker has a nice little track called Go Home about how she wants to go home. And I feel like it fits nicely with these dark winter days. And finally, Matt, we got lights in the skies, we got lights in the stars, we got lights in the darkness. I'm going with Maggie Rogers' killer single, Light On, for my third song.
Awesome. Love it. I have been listening to a lot of Staples singers. I talked about on the Happy Hour yesterday, my vinyl record of this Christmas season is the 25th Day of December by the Staples Singers. And so I put that on my Spotify to listen to, and then they started playing other Staples Singers songs, and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how amazing this band is. So I'm going to put on There Was a Star from that Christmas album. We got one more Christmas track in there for you. But also from Come and Go With Me, this new box set from the Stax Records days of the Staples Singers. I See It. Mm. Just a great social change song. And it has to do with paying attention. I See It, Staples Singers. And then finally, here's a fun one about the COVID pandemic days. Jensen McRae's Immune. Immune.
Interesting.
I think this one comes up when I listen to Phoebe Bridgers, like one of the songs that like will start playing after I finish an album or something. So we'll throw her in there. It's like, it's up to your alley, Zach. It's like little indie
folk
going
on.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll get details out here soon, Matt, about our next our January Happy Hour hangout. Maybe we'll do albums of the year, songs of the year sort of things, because those are coming out now, but we're too busy and we can't do it right now. And then maybe February, like looking out, like we'll do Coachella. Hopefully by February we'll have the artists, right? We can do some prepping together as a community.
Sounds good.
I think it sounds vinyl.